Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur Amar Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak At Shalom. We are now in Masachet Baba Kama Daf Kufei Amud Aleph, near the beginning of the Amud Chutz in Pachem Mishavah Pruta Bekeren. And the general rule that we saw in the Mishnah was that as long as the Gazlan, who took the oath and then admitted his guilt, still owes at least a Shavah Pruta of the Keren, then he has to follow the guy all the way to Madai, wherever he is. If it's less than that, or he only owes the Chomish, etc., then he can wait until the fellow shows up. Now, Amar Papa, Lo Shanu Ela She'en Gzeila Kayemet. In this first version of Papa's ruling, he says that the rule of less than Shavah Pruta is only true if the Gzeila is no longer in existence. In other words, he owes a debt of less than Shavah Pruta. But if the item is still around, then he does have to follow him. Why? The concern is that in the meantime, the item, the market value may go up. This item may now be worth more than a Pruta. And then he has to go, so let him go now. Ika Damri, there's another opposite version of this. It doesn't matter if the Gzela is still in existence or not. We do not have such a concern that the item may go up. Now, Amar Rava, and this is all tie in. Gazal Shalosh Agudot B'Shalosh Prutot V'Uzalu V'Yamdu Ashtayim. A fellow stole, let's say, three bundles of vegetables, let's say three bundles of scallions. And at the time, the price was one pruta per bundle. And then the price went down after he stole them, so that each one was two-thirds of a pruta, so the three of them together were worth two prutot. He machzir lo shtayim, even though he already returned two of them, chayav lachzir lo acheret. He still has to return the third. We don't say that it's pachos mishava pruta, and therefore there's no debt. The Tana Tuna, and we think that we have support from this Tana, Gazal Chametz Vavrala Pesach, famous case that we've seen many times, Omer Lo'oshrei Yishokha Lefanecha. If you stole Chametz before Pesach, so you stole a case of beer a week before Pesach, and then 2 weeks after Pesach you return it, you could say, here, take it. Now, Tama De'ite Be'ene, we think the reason you can do it and pay back what essentially is something of no value is because it's still around. Halete Be'ene, but if the beer was destroyed and now you have to pay the $20 that the beer cost before Pesach, even though it's not worth anything now, came into Be'ikra Mamona who buy Shlumay. Since originally it had value, that's what you have to pay. So therefore, Achinami Afagav Dahashta Lashava Pruta, same thing with these Agudot, even though now what you owe is less than a pruta, cave unto me car of a shava pruta, since originally when you stole it, it was worth a shava pruta, boy shlume. That's his contention. Now, boy Rava then, and this is very typical for Rava's style, he presents a rule, presents the argument, and then asks a question of a nuance of the rule. Gazal shte agudot bepruta vechzir lo achat mehen mahu. Here we go. We've got two, let's say, bundles of scallions that together are worth a pruta. He returned one of them. Now what? Me, I'm in Hashtalek Gzela. Do we argue now? All he's got left is half a pruta. There's nothing to return. Odil Mahalohada Gzela Bedahavi Gabe. Or perhaps he never did a Hashavata Gzela because he didn't give a pruta. And that's why he specifically picks a case where the whole kit and caboodle is worth a pruta. He returned half of it. So on the one hand, he doesn't have a pruta to return. On the other hand, he never did return a proper Hashava. So Hadar Pashta, and then Rava answered it himself, Gzela Inkan Hashava Inkan. A very strange statement. There's no Gzela, there's no Hashava. No, it's the opposite. Gzela Inkan Hashava Yeshkan? Doesn't make any sense. If there's no Gzela left with him, then that means that he has returned it. So Hachikama, this is what he means. Afa Pisha Gzela Inkan Mitzvat Hashava Inkan. And there's two ways to read this, and they're both true. Even though he doesn't have a gzeila in his hands anymore, there is no more mitzvah tashava. Or, he never did the mitzvah tashava. Both ways are true. In other words, he didn't do the mitzvah tashava because he didn't return a shava pruta, and he doesn't have a mitzvah tashava because, even if he gives the half a pruta, that's not mitzvah tashava. Alright, now, the amarava, hare amru, and now we're going to see a parallel case coming out of the world of Nazir, and this is a sugya we saw in Nazir. Nazir shigileach v'shir shtei sarot la'savala v'lo klum. And again, Rava builds his case by first presenting what we all agree, which is that if a Nazir shaves but leaves two hairs, la'savala klum, that's not called tiglachet. In other words, the shir is you have to shave until there's less than two hairs, one hair or no hairs left. Boy, Rava, here's his question. Gileach achad v'nashrachat mahu. What if he shaved one and then the other one fell out? Then what? So amale rachamin leiv to the Ravina. Nazir shegilach achad achad kavim baile the Rava. Was Rava asking the question about a Nazir who shaves one hair at a time, which is certainly fine? That's basically what he's asking. The guy shaved all the way down to two and then shaved the second to last one, so it's fine. Really, what he was asking was the opposite order. He shaved everything until there was two hairs left. Then one of them fell out, and then he shaved one. Do we say, after all, when he comes to shave the last one, there is no shear? Or perhaps you could argue that the original act was not kiluach. Dimikara, whose shear stays sarot? He left two sarot. Vashigilech, lo avish stays sarot. And now there's not two sarot left. So Hadar Pashta, Rava answered his own question again, Seyar Enkan, Giluach Enkan, which is exactly the same form he used before with Gzeilan Hashava. There's no hair, there's no Giluach. So Is Seyar Enkan, Giluach Yeshkan? How can that be? If there's no hair, how could there not be Giluach? Hachikamar, Afapisha, Seyar Enkan, Mitzvat Giluach Enkan. Even though there's no hair left, nonetheless, he not only did not finish the mitzvah of Giluach, but there is no mitzvah of Giluach, because the second last hair fell out, and now he's below the shear. Now, V'amar Rava, and this is not exactly following the same form, but again, Rava builds up a case by presenting a rule and then asking a nuance about the rule. Hare amru, chavit shenikva ustamu ashmarim. If you have a barrel, and there's two ways to read this, but they work in the same direction, it has to do with chatzitza b'fnei atuma. If you have a barrel that has a hole, and we assume this hole now is the proper shear, which is the shear enough of the liquid to get out, and stamu ashmarim, and the dregs filled up the hole and plugged it up, hitzilua. Now it's considered a chatzitza. So, for instance, if there are two adjoining rooms under one roof, and there's a mate in one room, and there's a window between the rooms, and you put this barrel in the window, now the barrel is a chatzitza. Boy, Rava asked, Agaf chetzia mahu, what if you put sealant and covered up half of the hole, so it's now less than a shear? So Rav Yemer Lavashi, Lav Mishtatenu Izu, he says, that's a Mishnah in Ohalot. Now, Chavit Shenikva Ustamu Ashmarim, same exact deal to Lua, Kakab is Mora, if you plugged in a grapevine to plug up the hole, Ad Shimarech, you have to put sealant around it. Hayubashtaim, if you put two vines in there, you have to put sealant around the side and in between them. Right? So it sounds as if the entire hole has to be plugged up to say that this is now a chatzitza. Tam demarach lo marach lo. Amai. Why, if you don't seal it, is not enough? Tehavek agaf chatzia, why shouldn't we consider it like having plugged up half of it? Amri, the answer is, hachi hashta, that let's consider the two cases are not alike. Hatam ilo marach lokai. In the case of the vines, they're just sitting there. If you don't put sealant, they're going to fall out. Which means that without the sealant, this is not a chatzitza that we can consider real at all, and the hole is really fully there. Agaf chatzia, minita kai kai. But if you put sealant over half the hole, that half is now covered permanently. So Rava's question is a good question. By the way, we never solved the question. V'zolomi inyanenu. V'yama Rava, and now we get back to Gzela. Hare amru, and again, Rava presents a rule that we know, and then asks a nuance on the rule. Gazal chametz v'alav pesach umer lo harisha chalafanecha. Right? So you can hand back the chametz after Pesach. Boy, Rava nishba alav mahu. What if you took a shvua after Pesach, or during Pesach, and said, no, I don't have it, and I didn't steal it from you? Then what? Mi amrinan came into imigna by shlumile. What was he denying when he made that statement? Because think about this. If he still has the beer in his possession, he can return it as is, and he's not denying any liability because his oath is not getting him out of any payment because the beer is worth nothing. On the other hand, were the beer to be stolen from his property, he would now have to pay the value that it was before Pesach. So now, came into imigna by shlumile, since if it were stolen, he'd have to pay him. Mamona kakafrale, we say that it is a denial of money. Odil mahashta miyad hamanach ve'afar ba'al mahu. Or do we say, no, right now it's sitting there. In reality it's sitting there, it's worth nothing, and therefore shvua is not a shvua of kfirat mamon, and therefore it's not chayiv. V'lo kafrale mamona. So the answer is milta di boy le rava pshita le rabba. This question that Rava had about a denial of a liability that currently is not a real liability at all, but theoretically could be, was something that Rabba had already solved. The Amar Rabba, here we go, Shori ganavta, fellow says, you stole my ox. V'humar lo ganavti. So he says, Mati v'atzalcha, so what's he doing in your yard? So he says, Shomer Chinam Ani Alav Chayav. If he says, I'm a Shomer Chinam, and then he takes an oath, he's Chayav. Why? Shomer Patar, it's only Ganeva Vaveda. Because by saying Shomer Chinam, as opposed to admitting to be a Gazlan, he was trying to exempt himself from the liability in the case of Gneva Vaveda. If he says Shomer Sachar Ani Alav, Chayav Shomer Patar Atzmo Mishvura Umeita. Because if Shomer Sachar also has circumstances where he's not liable. Even a Shoel Ani Alav, Chayav Shomer Patar Atzmo Umeita Machmat Malacha. Even a Shoel is Patar if the thing dies in the course of the work that you borrowed him for. You borrowed an ox to plow, and while plowing he dies, you're Patar. But a Gazlan is Chayav. So therefore, if you're really a Gazlan, and your claim back is I'm a Shomer, you're Patar because... then this is Rabba's ruling, because you're exempting yourself from liability that is theoretical. And if it were stolen, that you'd be exempt, whereas a Gazlan you're liable. Al-Ma'afagav da'koyim, so we see that even though the ox is still standing there, came into imigni, and how do we know it's still standing there? Because he says, what's he doing in your backyard? Came into imigni mamona kakafar, since theoretically, were he stolen, you would be denying liability. Hashem mamona kakafar, therefore you're still chayev, because you are denying liability. Chanami afagav da'afar ba'almahu. So the same thing with the chametz. Even though right now this chametz is worth nothing, came into imigni by shlumi le mamona malia, since were this chametz stolen now, you would have to pay real money as per the original value pre-Pesach. Hashem mamona kakafar le. So now your denial is a real denial, and you're denying a liability for Mammon. That is Rava's ruling. Now, Yativ Rava v'kamar lahashmata. So Rava then taught this piece. It was his own question, and Rava's already built-in solution. Eitiv Rav Amram Rava. Rav Amram challenged Rava. And the pasuk about Shvua, about Asham Gzeilot, the pasuk says v'chicheshba. If he denies it, prat lamod v'ikar. That is, there's an exception that excludes a case where you're modu b'ikar, meaning where you admit to the essential fact of the claim, but you deny a piece of it. Ketzad, let's see how it works. Shori ganavta, the guy says, you stole my ox. Fuomer lo ganavti. So mati watzlecha, what's he doing in the yard? Atamachartoli, tanatatoli matana, you sold him to me, you gave him to me. Avicha machrole, avicha matola matana, your father did, sold him to me, or gave him to me as a gift. Achar parati rats, he was running after my cow, and ran into my yard. Meilav baetzli, he came on his own. Tobaderech matzativ, I found him as an aveda. We'll talk about that for a minute. Shomer chinam ani alav, I'm a shomer, shomer sachar ani alav, shuel ani alav. I'm one of the shomrim for this animal. V'nishba v'hoda, and he was nishba to that fact that it was sold to him, it was an aveda, he's a shomer, whatever. And then he admits he's a gazlan. Yachol yechayev, I might think he's chayev, tamalom v'chicheshba. Therefore, the Torah says v'chicheshba means you have to fully deny that the thing is there at all. You can't say, yeah, it's there, but it came under other circumstances. Then that's not Hashem gzeilot. Prat lamod v'ikar. So that's how Rav Amram challenged Rava's repeating of Rava's ruling, because Rava's ruling goes directly against this. So Amar Le, Rava turned back and said, Tadura, you don't get it. Kitanya Ahid Ka Amar Le Helach. When do we say that your putter, the case you just said, where the fellow says, here's the ox, take him. In other words, there is now no moment in time at which this possible liability would kick in that according to your claim you're exempt from. Kikamina de Kaima Bagam. The halacha that I was talking about is where the ox is not present. It's off at the pond or something in the marsh. It's not available. Now, let's look back at those cases in the Braita. He says, Atamachartaoli, my modu be'ikarika. Well, let's think about this. If the guy is claiming you sold him to me, then he really is denying any liability. The fact that the ox is in his property, but he's saying you sold him to me, so there really is a full denial of liability. So what kind of modu be'ikar is there? So lotzricha damar le lo natati l'chadomi. I didn't pay you yet. That's what he's saying. Shkil torach vazil. And he says, look, you want to make a big deal about it, take your ox and go, and I didn't pay you, so we're all good. Atana tatoli, avichan tatoli. Also, if he claims you gave him to me or your father gave him to me, maidu modu be'ikar ikar. Again, what kind of hodai is there? You gave him to me as a gift, so I would do something nice for you. I didn't do the nice thing. Take him and go. So when you claim I found him, so the nigzal is saying, so you should have returned him to me. What kind of a claim is that? Aveda matzati. When he says, I found it as an aveda, but I didn't know it was yours. I found an ox, I didn't know it was your ox. Okay, good. So we've settled all of the troublesome or the nettlesome cases in that brayta of why such a claim would be considered moda be'ikar. He's saying, yeah, it's in my property, but for one reason or another, I didn't come back to you because I was doing you a favor, or I still owed you the money for it, it was a proper mekach, or I found him, I didn't know it was yours. And that explains why he's not liable. And he's handing it over, so there is no liability. Rava's case was where he's not handing it over, and then there's that still that window where something could happen to him, where according to his claim he'd be potter, but according to reality he should be chayiv. Okay, Tanya, let's look a little bit more at Aveda. Amar ben Azai, Gimel Shvuotein, there are three kinds of oaths, and this should not be at all confused with the Gimel Shvuot at the end of Ketubot. Gimel Shvuotein, there are three kinds of oaths having to do with an Aveda. Now, we don't yet know what this means. Hikir ba velo b'motza, and this is talking about Shvuot Ha'idut, when a man says, you know testimony about where my Aveda is. And the guy says, no, I don't. So I'm going to make you take an oath. So if the guy recognized the animal, I mean, he knew who the owner was, and he didn't know who the motza was, meaning he didn't know who the finder was, or b'motza velo bar, the opposite. He knew who the finder was, he didn't recognize the animal. So in the first case, he should have come to the guy and said, your animal's there, I don't know who found him, but he's out there somewhere. Or, this guy found something, maybe you know what it is. Lo ba velo b'motza. Now the last one is like kind of strange. Lo ba velo b'motza kushta ishtaba. So when he takes an oath and says, I don't know any testimony regarding you, and he really didn't recognize either the animal or the guy who found him, so certainly he's telling the truth. There's nothing to do there. So ema ba'uv motzai. Really, it's the opposite. If he knew either the identity of the animal belonging to his friend, or he knew who the guy who found it was, or he knew both. Now, lamai hilchata, what's the purpose of these three? And it's why I mention them. He says, you're potter in all three cases from Shvuot Ha'Edut. Shmuel Amar Lechiyuv. Let's see. Uflukta Dahani Tanoi. They follow this Machloka Tanaim. The Tanya Hamashpia Eidachad. This is the real kicker. If you have one witness who knows testimony on your behalf, and you make him take an oath, and he says, I don't know any testimony, and it turns out he's lying, is he chayiv? After all, what help would he have been to you had he testified? And here we go. Hamashpia Eidachad Patur of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Mechayev. That's the Machloka that we just saw. What's the machloket about? Think about this. If I bring one witness to court who, without any trouble, testifies that you owe me money, you have to take a shvuah. And maybe you wouldn't take the shvuah, and then you'd pay me. On the other hand, the one witness can actually directly get the money out. So that's dover hagarm lemomon. So therefore, if you say that in the case of these three oaths, where you make one guy testify that he knows that one guy testifying on your behalf, that's what you're forcing him to do, he may be chayiv for refusing to do so and taking an oath to that effect, or he may be potter, depending on whether we consider his potential presence in Beit Din as being kimomon. All right, I'm Rav Sheshet. A kofer pikadon nasalav ganzlan chayiv ba'onsin. Interesting take Rav Sheshet has. If you deny liability for a pikadon, you say, I don't have the pikadon, immediately you're a gazlan, if you really do have the pikadon, and now you're chayiv ba'onsin, as opposed to before, when you were potter mi'onsin, let's say as a shomer chinam. V'tana tuna, and we have a brayta that supports this, v'chichesh ba, again, taking our pasuk v'chichesh ba, lamanu onesh, all that tells you is that you are held liable. Azar aminayin, where do we know the prohibition? Tamu lamar lo techacheshu, the Torah says you're not allowed to deny debt. So my love, onesh mamon, when it said onesh, doesn't that mean you have to pay? So you see that the minute you deny, without an oath, you deny that the pikadon is there, you now have full liability. Lo, onesh shvua. No, it's only if you take the oath. So how many tani seif of yishtaba? Look at the seif of that brayta that we'll see in a minute. And that's talking about a case where you did take the oath. Michal derei shudlo yishtaba. So clearly the first case where you didn't take the oath. Tani Sefer, here's the Sefer, Nishbal Shaker, which is the next phrase. Chicheshba v'nishbal Shaker. Lamadnu Onesh, Azar Aminai, and that tells you that if he takes the oath, he's chayiv. How do you know you're not allowed to take a false oath? Tamalom lo t'shakeru, lo t'chashuv, lo t'shakeru. That's in the same pasuk in Kedoshim. Umid Sefer, Nishtaba, Reshu lo Ishtaba. So clearly that means that the piece of the bright, or the Sefer that's riffing off of of Vinishbal Shakir is about a Shvua. So therefore, the ratio, which is riffing off of the Chicheshba, is about Allah, not with, before a Shvua, without a Shvua. So Amri, the answer they gave was Idivi Idid Ishtaba. Both are cases about Shvua. Kanshahoda Kanshaba Oedim. If after the Shvua he admitted that he lied, as one, as opposed to if after the Shvua Edim came to testify that he was lying. Atu Edim Chayv Ma'onsin. To Yodei Chayv Bekerv Chomesh Ve'asham. And it's very simple. If he takes the Shvua and then afterwards he admits he lied, he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh V'Asham. Right? But if, on the other hand, he took the Shvua and Edim come and say that he lied, then he becomes like a full Gazlan, and then he has to pay for the Onsin. Okay. Meitiv Rabbi Marchama, so he challenges. Uchshenegdo Chashla Shvua Ketzad. We know that there are occasions when a person is not trusted to take a Shvua. And in those cases, his opposite number, who normally would not take the Shvua in that case, as an example, if a Malve claims that a Lova owes him money, and the Lova admits to part of it, so it's a mode of Miktsat, the Lova should take the oath. But the Lova is somebody who we know is a Gazlan, or somebody else who can't be trusted. Then the Malve takes the oath of how much he owes, and then he takes the money. Now, Shekenegel Choshel HaShvua Ketzat, how does that work? Echad Shvua Taidut, Echad Shvua Tapigadon, Afilu Shvua Chavin. Any Shvuot, if the guy who's supposed to take the oath cannot, then the opposite number takes the oath. But in Shvuat HaPikadon, according to you, Rav Sheshet, you should never get to that point, because the minute that you denied liability, you're already considered, according to you, a Gazlan. And it's the minute that you denied it before the Shvuah, you're already considered a Gazlan, which means you're already Pasul, which means that your Shvuah is not a Shvuah at all. So I'm Rachamayaskin and the Kai Ba'agam. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about a case where the Pikadon is off somewhere. Delav kfirahu. That's not called kfirah. When you say, I don't have it, and it's really, and we find out later what happened is that it's really off somewhere, and you just need to find it and get it back. That's not called a kfirah. Nesavra ad ashtemint ishtemitna le adazil noetina le. I'll stall until I can go get him. How do we know? If somebody denies, and this is a model for this, if somebody denies liability for a halva, he's still kosher le'edut. The pikadon pasul eidut, but if he denies liability for a pikadon, then he's pasul eidut. What's the reason? Because if he denies liability for a halva, what he's basically saying is, let me get the money together, and he's not really trying to get out of it. But the pikadon, he is trying to get out of it. So therefore, we see that distinction. We see not every kfir is the same. V'hamar ilfa, and we think that this statement of ilfa supports Rav Sheshet. We think that the statement of ilfa will challenge Rav Sheshet. Shvua kona. Shvua kona means, we think, that the minute that you take the shvua, you are now chayiv ma'onsin. Mashba only with the shvua, not beforehand. Shvua de kanya, wa kfira lo kanya. So, achinam de kaima magam. Again, we're talking about a case where the animal is off somewhere, and you took, and your kfira is not a real kfira, but your shvua, that already puts him into your possession as a gazlan. Vibayitayim amai shvua kona. The other possibility is an extravagant statement that Ilfa is referring to, Ravuna, the Ravuna Marav, the statement of Rav, Mane lebiadcha, v'alo mer in lecha biadi. A guy says, you owe me money, and the other guy says, I owe nothing, v'nishba, and he took the oath, v'chakach ba'u edim, pater, and then edim come and say he lied, he's pater, he doesn't have to pay it back. Why? Shenemar, v'lakach ba'la v'lo yishalem. This is talking about a pikadon. That the owner takes it and the shomer doesn't have to pay. That's in that context if we find the ganav. But taken out of context, what's the drasha? Kevan shekiblo libu habal kiblu habalim shvua shuv en mishalim mamon. Once lakach be'alav here, because the phrase right before it is that he takes an oath. V'lakach be'alav v'lo yishalem. And the way they're reading it is that the baalim take the oath. They accept the oath. Meaning, once he has given his oath and said, I'm not responsible, he's already off, I didn't steal it, he's off the hook, and the Baalim, as it were sort of paid with the Shvua, and then, even if the Edim come later, he's not going to pay Mamon. This, of course, is a very difficult halacha. In the next podcast, we'll see how it gets very narrowed in its application, and even so, the Poskim don't seem to accept it. As you can see the difficulties with it, but we will explore that further in the next podcast, Emir Tashev. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.